So, as we begin our sermon this morning, I want to ask you, what was your favorite game as a child? As you were growing up, what was your favorite game to play? Board game? Board game. Let's stick with board games. Monopoly. All right. Clue. Play said blue, and I was like, what is blue? All right, Clue, that was a fun one I used to play. I've always loved games. Since I was small, even now, I like to play games. Anybody else? Checkers?
Old Mill?
Old Mill? Apparently. Is it like Old Maid?
No.
All right. When I was, anybody else?
Battleship,
one of my absolute favorites. Karen Board? Okay. Oh, okay. I think I've played that one. All right. Anybody else? Chess? Yahtzee? Crossfire. Was a good one. Oh, the Game of Life. Okay. All games I've played except Old Mill and the one that Miss Bonnie mentioned. I don't think I've heard of those. I liked Battleship. That was one of my favorites. What was it?
Farkle.
What in the world is Farkle? Sounds like a Christian cuss word. Farkle! I always liked playing Uno growing up. Mousetrap was one of my favorites. You remember Mousetrap? And when I was really little, the game Memory. You remember that game? You usually had little cardboard squares, had pictures on. You don't remember it? And you lay them face down, and you have to flip one over and try to find the other one. If you don't find the match, you flip them over. And as the game goes, the idea is you remember where they are. So when you flip one over, you remember where it was in a turn before, and you can find them. The person who gets the most matches at the end wins, all right? So it's a good way to work on our memory skills. How many of you remember one of the early electronic games? It was came out in 1978, looked like a red telephone. It was called Merlin. Anybody remember that? Wow. All right. So some do. I see a couple of nods. Merlin, it looked like a telephone, had little red dots on it. And you can play certain games on it. You could play tic-tac-toe. You had a game where it would light up certain buttons that had a specific sound, so it would kind of play a small tune. And then you had to match it. All right, you had to remember where what button lit up in what order and then play it back to it. And the further you advanced, the harder it got. And so it really tested your memory. So I want to play a little memory game with you this morning. And as we go, the questions are going to get harder. Can you remember what you had for breakfast yesterday morning?
No.
No. Can anybody remember what that? All right, Adam?
Pumpkin bread strudel.
Pumpkin bread strudel. All right, thanks for the invitation, by the way. Leland? All right, a sausage, egg, and cheese croissant. Yesterday I had scrambled eggs. Heather made one of our family favorites. It's a sausage with cream cheese between two croissants. It's kind of like a casserole. And she made fried potatoes. Heather makes the best fried potatoes on the planet. All right, and then I had 2 cups of black silk coffee, and it was delicious. All right, can you remember the first person you spoke to yesterday morning? And what did you say? Good morning. Who were you talking to? That's what I figured. All right. You never know. Who?
Ann.
What'd you say?
Probably good morning.
You would think, at least for most of us that was married, that it was to our spouse that we spoke to first. Heather got up before I did and started cooking. The smell of breakfast cooking is what woke me up. But the first person I spoke to was our dog, Zoe. Because when I rolled over, she was nose to nose with me, wagging her tail. And I said good morning and asked her if she wanted a belly rub, of which she immediately rolled over and got what she wanted. All right. Anybody else remember who they spoke to first yesterday? The Lord. All right. That's a good person to talk to first thing in the morning. What was the most joyful moment of your day yesterday? What was the most joyful moment? Going to bed. All right. Huh? Finished mowing the lawn before it rained. I didn't even make it out to mow the lawn before it rained. Had good intentions, but it didn't make it. Anybody else? Yes, Bonnie.
Visiting with neighbors that I
Okay, visiting with neighbors, probably never see again. Anybody else? Yes, Vicki. All right, the sunrise over the lake. She was out there taking pictures early yesterday morning. For me, it was just sitting with all the doors and windows open in our house and listening to it rain. We have lots of trees around our house, even though we live in town, and just listening to that rain fall through those leaves and hit the house. It was a very peaceful and joyful moment. You know, a memory is a fascinating thing, isn't it? We often remember the big dramatic events, but sometimes the small, subtle moments can slip through the cracks. Now, near the beginning of this series, I used an object lesson to help us think about how often we are aware of God's presence, that He is always with us. I mean, the Bible says, Acts chapter 17 and verse 27 says that He is not far from each one of us. James says in James 4 and verse 8 that if we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. In Philippians 4, Paul says the Lord is near. So He is always with us. I think we've pretty much established that. The question is not, is God near to us? The question is, are we aware of it? Are we alert to it? And so I hid some Trinity knots throughout the building to see how much you would recognize something different around you. So there are 12 of them. They're still in the building. Can you remember where they are? One's in the men's bathroom. There's one above the door as you exit the auditorium. There's another one in that little cubby in the back where there's a box of tissues. That's three. Which bulletin board? All right, there's one by the bulletin board in the pantry. Cole?
One under the pedestal with all the papers.
All right, in the foyer, the little pulpit there where the bulletins are, there's one there. Oh, the clock in the foyer? I mean, in the fellowship room, there's one underneath the clock in the fellowship room. Anyone else? Luke? There's one in Ruby's office up on above her computer on the bulletin board there. Anybody else? There's one in the ladies' room. There's one in the library. There's one in the nursery. There's one in the hallway outside one of the classroom doors. There's another one on the bulletin board as you go down the hall towards the ladies' room. Is that all of them? Is that 12? I wasn't counting. I started to count, and then I got distracted and forgot. I think that's it. 12 of them, as a constant reminder that God is with us. Let me ask you this question. How often do you pause to truly notice God's presence in your daily life? How often do you just stop during the day and recognize that God is with you? When's the last time that you paid attention to what you were feeling, your emotions, and spent time reflecting that on what God could be saying to you through your emotions, since our emotions are often windows to our souls? And have you ever felt that in the busyness of life, you might be missing out on what God is trying to tell you or show you? Part of practicing the presence of God is learning to slow down in the busyness of life. And to do two things. One, reflect. And two, recognize that God is always with us. That He is active in our lives. You see, our spiritual journey is about living with God and experiencing His guidance and His love through our daily lives. I firmly believe that we never finish a day without God intervening in our lives. There are a limited number of ways for an infinite God to interact with us finite human beings. And I believe that He does. He shows up in our lives all the time. But have we trained our eyes and our hearts and our ears and our minds to pay attention? Are there times of busyness and preoccupation that you may even possibly resist God's presence? presence. So what we have been doing is we've been focusing on some very real exercises, spiritual disciplines, that will help us be more attuned to God's presence with us every day. The last one that we're going to talk about is called the Examine Prayer. All right, it goes back to St. Ignatius of Loyola, all right, but it actually predates him. But he's the one that really popularized it and gets a lot of credit for it. And the idea behind it is that you structure your life in a way that allows you to reflect on your day and recognize God's presence in your life. And I'm just simply going to walk you through this exercise. Because the Bible says in places like 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, pray without ceasing. In the very next verse, in verse 18, he says, give thanksgiving in all circumstances. And sometimes those verses have confounded me. And I have felt like I'm not being as faithful as I ought to be because I don't feel like I pray without ceasing. I mean, I don't sit all day, you know, with my head bowed, my eyes closed, praying to God. There are days that go by that I even forget sometimes to be thankful. So what do those passages look like? Well, the Examine Prayer can help us put some meat on the bones and bring some life to those passages. So before we dive into the prayer, it's crucial that we prepare our hearts and our minds. And when you're doing this at home, you want to find a quiet place. And if you have kids, I know that's hard. Put them to bed early. Get some free time. All right? Find a quiet place, get into a relaxed position, and then center yourself with a brief prayer. It could be something as simple as praying the words of Psalm 143 in verse 8, where the psalmist says, show me the way I should go, for I lift up my soul to you. It could be as simple as, Lord, I know you are near. Manifest yourself to me. So once you're in a quiet place, in a relaxed position, you begin to let the events of the day unfold before your eyes. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you see your day as God does. And then you review the past 24 hours. Let the events unfold and pass before you. Let your feelings about the day surface. Be sensitive to what is happening within you, to how you sense God inviting you to take notice and to respond to Him. And then you begin to ask a series of questions. You don't have to ask them all, but I'll give you some ideas. You can write these down. I'll send them out in an email and put them online later so you have them. But here's maybe the first question you ask. Lord, where have I met you today? Where have I met you? And don't necessarily think that it is some big dramatic moment. Maybe God showed up in an unexpected place, an ordinary place, a rather mundane place. Remember last week we talked about Brother Lawrence. And he turned washing dishes into a sacred moment where he could experience the presence of God. So you begin by just asking God and let the Holy Spirit lead you. The Holy Spirit enables us to connect deeply with God, opening our eyes to His presence in our lives. So be attuned to the Holy Spirit. A second question you might ask is, where have I missed you today? Where was I so preoccupied or so busy? All right, that I completely, you were right in front of me. Reminds me of a story about Steve. He woke up, all right, and his roommate had already gone. He was a doctor, said there was an emergency at the hospital, all right, and went to the hospital. And when he got up, there was coffee already brewed, and he was sitting there debating what he wanted for breakfast. He wanted just a simple bowl of cereal, or did he want to break out the eggs and the sausage and, you know, a hot breakfast? And he was just sitting there, and he, as he was thinking about what he was having for breakfast, he was also having this conversation with God about his day. And just thanking God for a quiet morning with a cup of coffee and just being able to sit and reflect on his relationship with God. And then out of nowhere, a knock came to the back door. He only had the screen door closed. And so he didn't recognize this individual, but it was someone that had just recently moved into the neighborhood. And he had this box of donuts. And he just wanted to introduce himself to his new neighbor. So he was bringing each family a box of donuts. Once a week, he'd meet a new family, fresh box of donuts. Amen. Sounds like a good idea. And by the way, we haven't been here a year yet, and we like donuts. I'm just saying. You're welcome anytime. And he got a little frustrated because this guy started talking about where he'd been, telling him his life story. It was long-winded. The donuts were getting cold. The coffee was getting cold. And he was just getting more and more frustrated the longer it went. Kind of like you get frustrated when my sermons go on and on and on and on and on. And you're thinking, when is it going to be quiet? That's not what this guy was thinking. And at the end, when he's really frustrated, and he's about to just shut the door on the guy and just go back to being with just God and his coffee and now a donut. The guy said, before I go, if you don't mind, I'd like to say a prayer with you. And the guy was kind of taken aback. Here God had showed up at his back door in the form of a neighbor with a box of donuts, wanting to connect with him and wanting to bless him. And all he could think about was how he was interrupting his time, his quiet time. And God showed up in an unexpected place. In an unexpected way. I wonder how often that happens to us. And then the third question we might want to ask is, where have I moved with you, Lord? Or maybe we ask, where have I moved without you? Where have I gone off on my own? Sometimes we're like Jonah and we're running away from God. Sometimes we run ahead of God and get ahead of him. And we're not walking with him. And so as you ask these questions and you're reflecting on your day, one of the things you want to look for is the goodness that God has lavished you with throughout the day. So you want to review your day with a sense of gratitude. Think about the gifts that you have received. And be very specific. Maybe write them down. Where did you experience God's goodness? That's the fourth question. Where did you experience God's goodness? And what this does is that it helps us cultivate a heart of gratitude, recognizing even in the smallest things of life that God is interacting with us. He is there. He is caring for us, providing for us, protecting us. And so the idea behind it is that it creates within us this idea of gratitude. And as you're letting the events unfold, pay attention to your feelings. As you review your day, notice the emotions that surface. Think about maybe the moments that you smiled, the moments that your heart was warmed, the moments that you laughed, the moments that made you happy. Where was God in the midst of that? He's there. He's never far from us. But also think about what caused you to be anxious. What caused you to be angry, sad, fearful, or maybe even guilty? Because God is with us in all moments. He's not only with us when there's a big smile on our face and we're feeling joyful and glad. He's with us every moment of the day. And as you recognize these emotions, what insight can that give you to where God may have shown up? And as you think about these emotions, focus on one significant emotion or event from the day. And pray from this feeling, exploring its origin, its meaning, its impact. For example, you may say, God, after examining my day, I give thanks for your gifts and I ask your forgiveness for my failings. I have felt guilty today. And tell him why. God, give me grace to see you in this feeling and understand what it means. And how you're drawing me closer to you. God, I felt incredibly grateful today. It just seemed like one good thing after another kept unfolding in my life. I got to work. I got a raise. Went to lunch. A friend told me that he just bought a new house, and he had sold his old house. He had some extra money, and he wants to take me and my family on vacation with him. That ever happened to you? No, me either. Preacher stories have a tendency to exaggerate. You got home, your wife smiling at the front door. Sweetheart, I'm pregnant. Well, for some of you, that would shock your hearts and scare you to death. This is a couple that's been trying for a while. Go with the story. Where was God in all of that? Find reasons to be grateful. You see, reflection on God's presence at the end of the day reveals his guidance and support to us in expected and unexpected ways. And developing gratitude is important because gratitude is the gateway to recognizing God's presence and activity throughout the day. Look for evidence of God's intervention and give thanks for his constant care and attention. And then think about tomorrow. Look forward to the next day. Renew your commitment to follow God and ask for his guidance. Consider the feelings that emerge as you anticipate the coming day. So this is a way to process what we're feeling. And then ask God to be with you through the night and into the next day. See, there's lots of benefits to the practice of examine. It makes us aware of moments that at first we might easily pass by as being as insignificant. Moments that ultimately can give direction to our lives. They help us discern God's voice and activity, even amid the busyness of life. So spend the end of the day looking for God's sightings. Where did I see God today? Where are his footprints? I promise you, he is near. I promise you that he is intervening in your life every single day. Every day. So here's my invitation. What would it look like if we all took time each day to reflect on God's presence in our lives? What would it look like? And how would our relationships change if we shared our reflections with others, especially our loved ones? You ever come home and, sometime during the day you saw something just absolutely wowed you? You can't wait to get home and tell your spouse. What more exciting news could you tell your spouse or your children about how God showed up in your life that day? Helping them to develop the very same habits. What impact would it have on our spiritual growth if we regularly recognized and responded to God's movement in our daily experiences? How would it change our attitudes, our moods, our expectations, how we carry ourselves? How would just being thankful for God's goodness and his greatness and his glory and his goodness, if we reflect that on, that's how we end our day, thinking about how good God is. How do you think it's going to change your mindset when you wake up the next day? Will it change how you see the world? How you see your spouse? How you see your kids? How you see work? See, the practice of examine can transform our spiritual lives by making us more attuned to God's presence and activity. And as we become more aware, we grow in gratitude, we grow in discernment, and we grow in love. My friends, let us commit to incorporating this practice into our daily routine, allowing it to guide us closer to the heart of God. We're going to stand and sing, but as we do, I want to share with you the words of the Apostle Paul. He closes out 2 Corinthians by saying this: "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Let us stand and let us sing.